Welcome to Remote First, a podcast about designing a workplace that is transparent, inclusive, and empowered to work remotely. I'm your host, Daphne Laforêt. This podcast is made possible thanks to Remotive, the world's largest remote work community. It's a job board and a media specialized in helping companies hiring remotely. In this episode, we are talking about keeping your team engaged virtually, keeping the momentum within your team. You know, the way to bring your team together is spicing things up in your meetings, because many people have been falling into Zoom fatigue since the last year. So to give you new solutions today, I have with me the extraordinary Laila von Alvensleben, Head of Culture and Collaboration at Mural. Laila is definitely not new to remote. She is one of the most experienced I know of, and I definitely someone you should follow to learn best practices. I met her a long time ago when she was working in a design agency, and now she managed a team of over 500 people across multiple continents and time zones. She's a champion of the remote first and hybrid approach to team collaboration. So I'm so excited to have you, Laila.
Hey, thank you, Daphne. It's good to see you again.
It's been a very big year since last year, continuing again right now. How has it been for you at Mural, the transition from, because Mural was a kind of remote first company with offices in Buenos Aires and San Francisco with some people remote, and then suddenly like everyone had to go remote, and you were very experienced at this, but then maybe not everyone. So how was the transition?
I think the transition for Mural was not as dramatic as I saw other companies experiencing at the time when the lockdown started and working from home became imperative, because we already had this mindset of defaulting to remote work sometimes. Sorry, that's kind of a contradiction, defaulting sometimes, but actually just having these remote work best practices in our team all the time, that was something that really helped us. And because our product as well promotes this type of collaboration online, it's also what we do really well. And of course, there's always space for improvement, but I think we transitioned pretty easily. And however, one of the big changes that we had is that we grew very, very fast. So we were around 120 people in January 2020. And today we just passed 500 people.
That's
at Mural.
Crazy. And do you think, actually, this makes me think, do you think that the fact that you now maybe are hiring more remotely enable you to do that like very fast growth that you would have not been able to do if you stayed with the specific locations?
Probably, because if we were looking only for people in one or two markets, it would have limited us a lot. So I'm pretty sure that being able to hire talent from everywhere really was an advantage for us. Also allowed us to move faster. But to then continue on the transitional side of things, we also have a lot of new people at the company who have never worked remotely before. So it's their first time. So I would say the transition was easy in the beginning when we were smaller. We all kind of knew each other. We knew what it was like to work remotely or not. But now we are more than double the size, and a lot of the people have never worked remotely before. So it's more complex anyway, because we are bigger, but also because there's more people who need to learn how this is done.
And what do you think are the main learnings that you guys have made in the past year?
The main learnings, there's so many. I think that one of the things that we realize is that we need to get better at practicing what we preach. So we're, you know, helping a lot of organizations to not just use our product, but helping them adapt our product to their ways of working. So it's actually, at the end of the day, changing their own culture when we work with other clients. And I think that we are also realizing that, yes, we're good at it, but we can also be much better at this. And there's a lot of things that we maybe didn't have time to put into place because we grew so quickly, because everything was an emergency right away. We didn't have time to set up processes and guidelines and, you know, like our own remote playbook. We're actually doing that right now. But at that point, it was just like, let's all just, you know, jump into this like everyone else, I assume. And if I compare that to companies like Buffer, for example, or Automatic or Zapier, other companies that were remote before COVID, I don't know the details of their growth, but I assume that it was a bit slower than ours, and they had more time to really build out this way of working and their culture inside. So for us, it's just been really, really fast, and it's going to continue to scale that way.
I mean, that's good news. It's a good problem to have to be like scaling fast, but at the same time, it's good that you are already kind of realizing that this is something you really have to tackle quick, because otherwise it can be quite painful for a company.
Yeah. And I think another learning is simply that this can be done, you know, even though we were always saying that it could be done, but this, the fact that we don't have an office is absolutely possible. Now, would people like to go back to the office? Yes, a lot of people would, but not everybody. So I think it's been a learning on a personal level for most employees to see, oh, okay, this is what it's like to work at home. Maybe I'm more productive, maybe I'm more stressed. But what I always say also about the stress that people are feeling now is that it's not just a stress from working at home. It's also a stress that has many layers because of the context around us, right? The situation with the pandemic. So I'm just careful also to, you know, I remember how remote work used to be before this, where you were free to have a social life and go to a co-working
we're missing
space.
It.
Right, or go to a friend's house and work from there. I used to also do, like, every Wednesday I would invite friends, freelancers, to work from my house because we all used to work remotely. And that was really cool, you know, to have lunch together and work. And that was why I wanted to work remotely. Now, if you remove all of that and you just can't leave your house ever, and maybe you also have kids at home and all of that to handle, of course, it's going to be stressful. But then people may just label that as remote work is really stressful, when in reality, it's much more than that.
Yeah, maybe actually people want to work in the office when just want to get out of their house. I mean, for myself, I also, like, as soon as I can find a co-working space that has, like, some opening, I'm going to try to go. So just to have a bit of my own time, so I can feel these people too. And so in these transitions, and what do you think those who have experienced remote for the first time, let's say out of pandemic, or just thinking about the experience, what would you think would be the main mistake that you've seen or you're expecting companies to do or that they've made recently because of that transition?
There's quite a few. Luckily, there's learnings as well. From a company level, of course, if you've never worked remotely before, it's going to be hard to know where to start. And I think it took lots of companies various weeks, if not months, to kind of, you know, find some type of stability again. And so I think the mistakes were maybe to try to do things in the same way as before. You know, let's say, oh, we had these meetings and this would be for with all these people and they lasted this long and they were going to keep it that way. Or we always communicated using email before, they kept it that way. And maybe they didn't explore different ways of doing things, whether it was a new tool or a new... They maybe didn't take into account, for example, that you can't spend the whole day, all day on Zoom, right? So we hear a lot about Zoom fatigue, and that's just not something that is feasible or advisable. And I think that that was a mistake where they tried to apply the same kind of like schedule, right? Or way of working, like, oh, I can always see my colleague. Now I want to see them all the time. You can't do that. You need more breaks. You need to get away from your screen much more. I think on a personal level, I was actually talking about this yesterday with somebody. There's this kind of anxiety that I feel from a lot of new remote workers of, I always have to be online, especially if I'm working with people in different time zones. Because when you were in the office, you would see everybody go to the office. Everybody maybe is there by 8, 9, whatever time. And then people kind of leave at the same time. But when you're online, you don't have that visual signal of like, okay, we're arriving and we're leaving. And so And everything is blended, right, with your personal living space, and maybe you have to change your schedule because you're doing homeschooling or things like that. So I sensed a lot of anxiety of people like saying, okay, now I have to be online the whole day and I don't know when the others are online, and I have teammates who are 4, 5, 6, 9 hours before and after me, so I'm going to keep staying online. I'm going to take my phone with me everywhere and make sure that I can see my notifications all the time. And so that wouldn't happen if you were in the office and then left the office, then, you know, everything is closed and shut. And I think that, for example, at Mural, we say we have flexible working hours, and it's up to you to decide how you want to distribute those hours. But it's almost like people feel, I need to prove to my manager, to my team, that I'm getting work done. So I need to stay online, I need to answer, I need to do this and that. And it's actually, that's just a stress that they add, a pressure that they add onto themselves, or maybe even their managers, not necessarily at Mural, but at other companies, will add that pressure to people.
Like, I need to be there. I need to be, like, available. I need to show responsiveness. Like, yeah. People give themselves that pressure.
Because that was always the issue before even COVID started, and I would give talks about why remote work was beneficial for companies. I would also talk about the lack of trust on behalf of employers. And I would say that's the number one blocker for remote work to be able to happen, is if your employer doesn't trust you, then it's not going to work, because it's really based on trust. I'm not going to see you for most of the day, right? I can't just walk by your desk and look over your shoulder. And I still think that kind of mindset is, like, imprinted in some people's minds of, like, oh, I'm online, but I have to show that I'm here and show what I'm doing and be responsive all the time. It's not healthy, though.
I think for managers also, it's been quite difficult, the mid-management during that crisis, because many people who were used to be in the office, have their team around, feel the momentum, feel the synergy of their team, suddenly kind of left out from this. And they were like, how do I do this now? Like, how do I get my team together? How do I keep momentum and, like, keep my team engaged? And they just kind of get completely out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And what would you recommend to them, like to these managers, for example, or maybe team leaders that are lacking that kind of, like, feeling of having their team being engaged when they have so many Zoom meetings and so many events like that? What would you recommend to them?
I'd recommend, well, first of all, there's training that can be done. There's some great companies also who give training on this, or actual consultants, but I think because training, managing in a remote team is different than managing in an office. So that's why I'm saying there is training that is specific for that. But also I would suggest that managers take a step back and also think about the humanity of their team, right? It's not just about getting the work done. And especially when you're remote, that's kind of what meetings are about, or the conversations. It's, did you get this done? Here's my latest update and so forth. And it's, in the office, that casualness, those kind of water cooler conversations would happen much more spontaneously. It's not something you would have to plan. Whereas when you're remote, you actually have to be really intentional about those human connections and those exchanges. So my recommendation would be to actually plan for spontaneity, if that makes any sense. And for example, with meetings, don't kick off the meeting right away with, this is the agenda. I mean, yes, the agenda is very important to know, but this is what we're going to talk about. And then you go straight in. Take a moment, even if it's 3-4 minutes, it seems like a lot, but it's really not, to have those conversations around how people are doing. Maybe tell an anecdote of what you've done today, or check in. There's a lot of exercises that I've also, I wrote a blog post about online warm-ups and energizers and icebreakers. And it seems a little bit artificial when you hear it like that. It's like, oh my goodness, it sounds like those lame icebreaker activities in these, like, corporate retreats or whatever. But actually, when you do them online, especially if you're using a visual tool like Mural, it can become very engaging and very human. And also planning for one-on-ones, that's a huge thing in remote teams that we recommend, is have a weekly one-on-one if possible with all your direct reports, of at least 30 minutes, if not an hour, and really ask them how they're doing. And don't talk just about work. Talk about them, mm-hmm. talk about their life, their family, how they're doing, and share also how you are doing, right? Be vulnerable as well as a manager. And you can also share these in whatever messaging tool you're using, whether it's Microsoft Teams or Slack. It's also nice to share, hey, I went to get a pizza or something, a takeaway pizza, because maybe restaurants are closed, whatever, but take a photo and share, or I went to get a haircut, I'll be back. Like, sprinkle in those elements that you would say if you were at the office. You'd say, okay, I'm going out to get a haircut and I'll be back, right? You can still say that online. You don't just say, I'm going offline, I'm gonna be back online later.
And what kind of, like, interactive activities do you do, for example, to keep the spirit up when you are, like, up outside of icebreakers, for example, maybe like the kind of activities are just made for the team to hang out, to have time together, mm-hmm. mostly in these times where it can actually not meet in person.
So I think quite a few teams have been having these kind of social hours or, you know, Friday afternoon drinks or whatever together and all coming on a Zoom, and then people are just talking and hanging out. But you can do things a little bit more structured. Again, it's all about intention. So rather than just saying, okay, we're going to all order drinks and look at each other and drink them and have a chat, you can come. There's tons of online games that can be done. There's even now I'm looking at, like, you know, online escape rooms and things like that. You can also invite, for example, performers, or you can invite an expert in a topic to accompany that social hour, right? It could be a magician doing magic tricks. It could be a mindfulness session. There's different ways of connecting. It doesn't always have to revolve around having a drink, you know, and looking at each other on Zoom. Another thing that I haven't experimented with my team yet, but I've seen it done by others, is, for example, not looking at your screen and maybe going for a walk. So everybody's on audio only. It depends on the size of your team, of course, and how practical that is. But just going for a walk and looking at the scenery around you and talking about what you're seeing and maybe trying to find some common things, or just describing it to your other listeners right in the call. I think there's many different ways that you can connect online, and even without being synchronously on the same call. There's sometimes I do little things like post a fun fact question or something, and like that, like, you know, would you rather eat a jar of, you know, spicy hot peppers or like a jar of wasabi or things like that, and just silly things, and just get people's reactions, or ask people, tell me, like, what did you think your future job was going to be when you were 5 years old, or things. And then everybody tells their little anecdotes in the messaging platform, and that as well just gives a way of connecting. We had one around, what would your karaoke song be? And so many people were like, hey, that's my karaoke song. And then suddenly people are talking about something they have in common. Mm. So yeah, I think there's many different ways of figuring out how to do that online.
Yeah, it really helps them also to connect, to get to find, like, things they have in common, to just have something that is not related to work all the time, where you just kind of open a call, have your task done, your meeting done, close the call, up to the other one. Brings a bit more like the humane feels to these never-ending Zoom calls. So
we've also done most recently like a water cooler mural. So instead of a water cooler channel, which is mainly text and a thread, and it's very linear, is we'll open up a mural. And for those who are listening and aren't familiar with the mural, what mural is, it's like an online whiteboard where you can add images and text and sticky notes, and it's like a virtual wall. And so we'll start a water cooler mural with a theme. It could be something, let's say, around Halloween or something like that. And we'll say, okay, add, you know, if you have a playlist, or if we can create a playlist, put the songs on this part of the mural. Put, you know, photographs of your costumes, recipes. And so you create this live, it's almost like a live documentation of many things that people like, but it's very visual as well, and it's not linear. And so we've been testing those out and done a few templates around those, and those have been really fun as well.
And then out of the activities that are a bit more like, you know, team engagement, fun activities, like, how do you keep momentum, like, on a call, for example, where you might have like 5 or 6 people like brainstorming about a specific problem trying to solve, and, you know, that maybe it kind of lasts after 40 minutes, you know, at some point you kind of slowly lose the focus. So, like, how do you get focus back on the team so everybody is kind of like still on for the whole call?
I would say that really comes down to facilitation, and that's a skill that I believe is becoming, it was already important before, but it has to become more and more important as we continue working this way. And I think in the past we would say, oh, a facilitator is, you know, this person who comes and delivers a workshop for us, and it's a specific training they have, and, you know, they're certified facilitators. Whereas now it's anybody who's going to start a Zoom, even if you and I are just going to be on the call with maybe a third person, whoever is organizing that call or that session would have to organize a minimum, right, for this session to happen. So ideally you're going to send the link and you're going to communicate to the people what this is about. Ideally there's an agenda, and so there's kind of like a planning, like, before the session, then there's during the session, then there's after. And that during part is what you're referring to, which is, how do we keep people engaged? a number of ways, you know, having something for everyone to look at together, which is, again, why I like murals a lot, is because you can follow people in this one place, but it could be a Google Doc, it could be anything, right, that you're looking at. You're not just looking at many tabs open, and keeping them engaged in the literal sense doesn't just mean listening to me, but are you giving them an activity to do, and are you giving them like a specific duration of time that they can do it in? So that's why time boxing becomes super important, where it's about that facilitator who will say, okay, you have now 5 minutes to complete this poll or whatever it is that you're asking them to do. And now you have 10 minutes to do this, and now we're going to discuss. And so it's taking that, it can be a 45 minute or 60 minute meeting, but having the times be very crisp, right? And making sure that people know their roles. So maybe you're the facilitator for the first half of the meeting, and then you pass it on to somebody else. Maybe have a note taker, maybe have somebody, you assign roles. By assigning roles, you are giving them something to do, right? So somebody's gonna check the time, and that way they will be engaged because they have to, you know, do what they're being asked to do. And what happens, I think, in many online meetings is that it's just one person talking on and on and on and rambling, and maybe there's a really boring PowerPoint or some slide kind of presentation or nothing, and maybe webcams are off, you know? So it's kind of like, no wonder you're going to be disengaged, right? You're going to be looking at something else. Although I have, you know, again, heard a lot of people saying that due to Zoom fatigue, cameras should not be on all the time, and we should allow people now to not turn their webcams on.
Or just privacy in general also was like a concern.
Also concern for privacy. For people that don't
have like a nice place that, you know, they don't necessarily have the best place to work from.
Exactly. So I can see the benefit in that, and I do think now that, you know, it's up to the participant as well, but I would still default to cameras on, generally speaking. And if you don't have that, then at least like be very engaged vocally and give people, you know, the space, and that's what the facilitator does. They're guiding people, making sure that everybody in the virtual room has a say, and if they see somebody who's been really quiet and hasn't, then now they have to call them out or pick on them, but try to gently, you know, get them to be engaged as well.
Basically, managers need to become facilitators, or that's basically the skill they should be developing from now on. Just not managers, but also like can be team leaders, those who have to kind of bring a team together online.
Yeah.
So like you really have them to develop especially, that skill a bit more.
For sure, managers and team leads, but I would say this is a skill that everyone should have regardless of your position in the company, because if your manager is not there, or if even let's say they have a technical issue, right? Their connection fails, and suddenly the manager is not in the session anymore, in the call. What happens? Can somebody else step in and take over, or is everybody just paralyzed and thinking, "Oh, I don't know how to handle this right now," and it becomes super awkward. And that's, I think, the reason so many online meetings are awkward is because there's just not good facilitation happening at the moment, right? If you're a good facilitator, okay, you might have like 30 seconds of awkwardness at the beginning, but then you know how to have a conversation, make people feel comfortable. Maybe you're even playing music in the background. There's many ways of making the online sessions also fun and leveraging technology so that it works to your advantage. Like, I don't think I ever remember going to a meeting in a physical office and there being music. At a workshop, maybe, but not at a meeting, right? Unless you're working in a very creative industry. But usually there wouldn't be. Whereas now I join webinars and sessions and they're playing music in the background at the beginning, and it's quite nice.
Oh, that's a good idea. I never really thought about it. It's actually quite nice. That's a good idea.
Yes, I can recommend it.
You also did something recently for the virtual retreat of Mural, which was very impressive because I went through the whole blog post about it. And I would really like you to explain a bit what was this about, because many people have been struggling not being able to meet in person. Even remote companies who are used to working remote have been maybe sometimes 2 years without meeting in person right now. So I thought you did an amazing job, and I would really like you to just tell a little bit, like a summary of what you did there, what you organized for the Mural team.
Thank you. So you're referring to the virtual retreat in August last year, August 2020. because we did another one this year in March. But I don't have a blog post about that one yet. So the one we did last year was an opportunity that was asked by the CEO. You know, we had got the Series B funding. We hadn't announced it yet publicly, and he wanted to celebrate. So he said, can you find a few hours for all of us to come together? Since we can't meet in person and we're going to cancel our yearly company retreat, can you come up with something? So together with a team of volunteers, we decided on a theme of kind of like Mural Airlines, you know, world tour. Of course, because we couldn't travel, we thought it would be fun to travel anyway digitally, right? And the theme was traveling, but then the way we did it was we created like a boarding pass invitation and we got people excited about it like the day before. And it was very short. It was about 2.5 hours or three. But we had sent also these props to people's houses before, so everybody received the same package with similar gifts. And, you know, it was a sleeping mask and different little things in there that were going to be used during this virtual journey. So then when they came, and we also provided Zoom backgrounds to everyone that they could download, and they had to use them at certain times. So the idea was we would all come on Zoom, and then the volunteers and myself, all the facilitators, we were dressed as pilots and co-pilots and air stewards and hostesses. And then we had this whole airplane theme going on, and it, you know, we made all the boarding announcements and all these things. And then every 45 minutes or so, we would change location or change destination. We'd fly there. We'd ask people, put on your sleeping mask. And then when they took it off again, the volunteers had changed their own Zoom backgrounds. And then we'd ask people, okay, now change it to the beach or change it to the mountain or whatever background that we gave you before. And it was really crazy to see 250 people on Zoom all with the same background. And we'd also play sound effects of like the waves or the wind or whatever. And then
it was so much fun.
It was fun. We'd have little activities and do little breakout rooms. And we did kind of like speed dating in one of them. And then we did online escape rooms in Mural and another one. And then I had also formed the Mural band with musicians at Mural who pre-recorded a song in advance. And then we played it as if we were at a concert. So that was really fun. Yeah.
That sounds so much fun. I wish I was there traveling around. I miss traveling so much as well. Oh, it's so cool. I think so far you've given like me so much like information, and I know there's a lot that is available online as well that people that are listening can go back to. So I'll make sure that I am adding these to the show notes. Thank you so much, Laila, for joining today and for sharing all your tips and making just working online and being on meetings much more fun. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
Thank you for tuning in to Remote First. You can find all links and show notes in the episode description. And if you found value in this show, we'd love your rating on your listening app of choice. Thank you for being here. See you next time.